All right, everybody making your way inside here? Man, that's good. I like it. Everybody making your way, I want to welcome everybody to Eagle's Way this morning. I got a couple of things that I want to share with you. I'm going to take just a second. But there were two things that came to me this morning when I was thinking about what I was going to say in my welcome today. The first one is, have you ever gone somewhere and you just felt like when you got there, the energy level was just really low? Like there was just no energy in there. Like it was kind of dead. And a lot of times when that happens, we look around and we think, we wait on somebody else to provide the energy. But the message for you this morning is to understand that you provide the energy. It's not in anybody else. Well, it's in them, but you are the one that kicks it off. See, one of the things that I tell people, because I do personal training besides life coaching, is because I have people a lot of times that will tell me, I just don't have the energy to exercise. And I tell them, if you will exercise, you will have the energy. That's how that comes. It doesn't just come upon you. You don't just wake up one day and have energy. You got to create it. Same thing happens in here as we come into worship and praise together, and then the word's going to be brought to us. It's what we put in it. It's the energy that we give it. So I want you to raise one hand this morning if you're willing to put some energy in this service today. One hand. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Now I want you to raise both hands if you really want to step it up and put some energy in this thing today. Both hands. Oh, yeah, we got some. We got some that's not checked in yet, but we'll work on that. So what I want you to do is understand, put the energy in. Here's what I want to tell you about this man behind me, and Buren's going to bring the word. In 1980, I had the privilege and the blessing to go watch a game at the University of Georgia. Notice the colors this morning? Game, well, they start next weekend. But I remember going to a game, and I had the privilege to watch Herschel Walker, which is one of the greatest running backs ever, play in a game and ran for a touchdown in that game. And I share with people the difference between positive and negative energy with that story, because I remember when he was coming towards the end zone that day. This was in 1980 now, but I remember the energy from the crowd that I felt the closer he got to me, with people standing up and cheering. And I tell people all the time, I don't have any doubt in my mind, he ran the fastest that he had ever ran that day. I don't have any doubt in my mind, because he was being propelled by the energy of 80,000 people cheering him on. That same effect will happen in here if you put the energy in it. What these folks want to hear and what Buren wants to hear is people who are engaged in the process, okay? So as they sing, don't be afraid to stand up. Don't be afraid to raise your hands. Don't be afraid to clap. Don't be afraid to shout praise. It's like saying, sick them to a dog when you do that, and they will take it up to another level. But it's up to us, okay? So welcome. I hope this room's going to be so full of energy. Oh, man, we've got to open the doors back there, okay? Let's do it.
All that. Don't count anymore. Oh. to ransom my soul. Calvary covers it all. No power on earth, even the grave, can separate us from mercy and grace. He is faithful to save. Oh, His blood never fails.
The next two songs we're about to do, they have meant a ton to me this whole past year. The first song is about being thankful for who I am, and that's sometimes really hard to do. And then the next song is about telling myself who I am and remembering it. Elizabeth and I were lucky enough to go to Iceland like 4 months ago now, and I'd always wanted to go there, and it was going to be the most amazing trip ever, and I couldn't wait. And one of the things that I planned on the very first day of us being there was you can actually go to the middle of the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean, where the North American tectonic plate and the Eurasian tectonic plate pull apart from each other. And I just always thought that'd be really cool, you know. What's in the middle? What's right directly in the middle? And so we go there, and sure enough, you can see there's a wall here, and there's a wall right here. And in the middle of it is the most gorgeous valley with a river running through it, and it's the most peaceful and calm and amazing thing that I've ever seen in my whole life. And I got really emotional. And I didn't know why I got emotional. I'm having this intellectual experience about, like, science and stuff. And I just kept getting really emotional while we were there. And God kind of really got me quiet for just a second. And he said, in the center of the earth, there's all this energy. There's this pent up, churning, violent energy. And because that's there, because of that energy and it's bottled up, the whole earth is splitting in half right in this very spot. And that's what you're feeling right now. You're feeling your emotions. You're feeling the sin in your life, and you're feeling the glory in your life being pulled apart as far away as the east is from the west. And you're experiencing that in a whole new way now. And right in the middle of that turmoil is where peace flowed through. Because I can have an understanding of it. I can have an understanding of why I feel these big, giant emotions and act out on them and, you know, spend money or whatever the thing that you do is. But if you sit and listen for just a second and you get quiet, there's peace right in the middle of what you're going through. And because of that giant turmoil, these mountains were created on either side of it that were just beautiful and glorious. That's my life. That's everything I've ever been through. That's understanding peace. That's God creating these monuments, and I am the monument of that energy and what he did with Jesus on the cross to save me. I get to have that peace whenever I realize it, whenever I take a moment to get quiet and think about it. And after that, Elizabeth and I started listening to these two songs on repeat for the whole rest of the trip to Iceland. And it just spoke to me. This is who you are now. You can be thankful for it. And then you, in pieces, the song she's going to sing next, you get to define what it is. You'll hear her say stuff like, I'm not anxious. I'm not afraid. I get to determine that. And now I have the ability to. And this song's about being thankful for that.
How do I say thank you, Lord, for the way that you love and the way that you've come? For all that you've done and all that you'll do, my heart pours out. Thank you. You don't have to come. You don't have to come.
You don't have troubled mind. It isn't anxious, it's not the restless kind. Your love's not passive, it's never disengaged. It's always present, it hangs on everything. Love keeps his promises.
Than our breath. You are the breath inside of us. How thankful we are to be yours and to be one with you and to know your energy and to know your love and to know your peace. And that is right here inside of us, God. Thank you.
He really would rather you sing that song in the first person. Oh, you ain't getting it. He had rather you sing that song in the first person. Not to him, about him, but from us to him. That we don't give our heart in pieces to him. We don't give our heart in pieces to one another. When we walk into a room, we walk in all of our splendor, and we change the room. You ever been in a place where somebody walked in and changed the room? You ever felt somebody's presence that powerful and that awesome that when they came in, all of a sudden things started changing? You see, that's what he wants for every. That's what it means. In him we live and we move and we have our being, that we have been changed into his likeness, into his image. Therefore, we are the ones who change the room. We are the ones who don't give our heart in pieces. It's okay to be that way. He's fine with that. God is good with that. Oh, he wants all the glory. No. I used to say that, Ralph. He's fine with sharing his glory. Those he called, he justified. Them he justified, he sanctified, and he glorified. So he don't mind sharing his glory. How many parents here, you don't mind sharing with your kids? You don't mind sharing with them. God doesn't mind sharing with you who he is. He don't mind sharing with you. He wants you to come into all that he is. That's his purpose. That's why he brought you here. That's why that he wants you to be that. It's okay to be that way. It's not arrogance. It's not pride. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's filled with confidence. I was so glad when she started singing that in the first person because I was just thinking that. I want to change the room when I walk in it. I want to change the atmosphere. I want to bring some life, some joy, some peace. Where's his mercy and grace going to come from? Don't drop out of the ceiling. Somebody's got to give it. Somebody's got to give mercy. Somebody's got to give grace. Somebody's got to give encouragement. Somebody's got to, come on, somebody's got to give these things. And we're the ones who got to give these things. Amen? We're too bent on what God can do for us and not what God can do through us. God wants to do more through us than he does for us. I believe that God does things for us. But what he wants to really do is do things through us. You know, he delivered the children of Israel, did something for them they couldn't do. They couldn't come out from under the tyranny of Pharaoh. They couldn't do it. They were beaten down, insecure, enslaved slaves. And God did for them what they couldn't do. God did for you and for me what we couldn't do when he rescued us from darkness into light. When he forgave you your sins, you couldn't do that for yourself. He had to do that for you. But when he brought the children of Israel out, he fed them manna from heaven. He gave them water to drink. He did all these things for them in the wilderness. But when they came to Canaan land, they came to the promised land. When they came to the place of their inheritance, he never did anything for them again. He did it through them. They conquered Jericho. They went on and conquered all their enemies. Now, it says at the end of Joshua, when the Lord had given them rest from all of their enemies, but he gave them rest from all of their enemies through them conquering their enemies. They did it. They went and fought the battles themselves. And they won them because God was with them. And we can fight our battles and win them because God is with us and God is for us. Oh, changed into his image. Changed into his image. You know, Abraham, we've been talking about him, and we're going to close it out today. And you just played, I'd say stop. That'd be good. That'd be cool. Because we're kind of rearranging this message, so y'all gonna help me rearrange it. We're just changing it up a little bit. And I like the fact that God didn't choose Noah, didn't choose Enoch. He chose Abraham, chose a man far, far away from God. Chose a man that was an idolater, worshipped idols, didn't even know who God was. He was real confused about God. He didn't worship an idol. It said he worshipped idols. He was really confused. Sometimes we get confused. How many know there's some people that's confused in the world? But you know what God did? God said, yeah, I'm going to choose Abraham because he's going to be the father of faith. Father of faith. And everything that we are, the Bible says, look unto the rock in which you were hewn. Look unto Abraham, your father. And so here's a man who stumbles into grace. Is chosen out of the sovereignty of God. And here he moves into and starts walking this thing called faith journey. And he had to grow from little faith to great faith to perfect faith. You know, Jesus one time looked at his disciples and said, oh, you of little faith. And he said little faith because little faith, they came in fear and trembling. And they would be fearful. And he would look at them and say, oh, thou of little faith, how much longer do I have to be with you? Little faith is faith that's filled with fear. It's faith, but it's fearful faith. And then there was time when Jesus said, a man came to him and said, will you come and heal my servant? He says, I'll come. He said, you don't have to come. I'm not worthy for you to come. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house, but I'm a man of authority like you are. And I say to this man, go, and he goes, this man, come, and he goes. So I know what authority is. He said, so if you'll just speak the word, my servant will be made whole. And Jesus said, I haven't found such great faith in all of Israel. A Syrophoenician woman came and said, can you come and heal my daughter? And he said, it's not good for me to give the children's bread to dogs. She said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, I have not found such great faith again in all of Israel. Great faith. And then it says in James that Abraham came to a place in his life where he called it perfect faith. That Abraham had perfect faith. And that perfect faith came to the place where he finally went up on Mount Moriah and he's carrying his son Isaac. And Isaac says, Daddy, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will prepare himself a sacrifice. Whew, you didn't get that. He said, he will prepare himself a sacrifice. So Abraham had this perfect faith that, you know, he gave me this promised seed, but you know, when I get to Mount Moriah and I'm to sacrifice him, I believe with all of my heart that before this knife comes down and takes his life, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Abraham believed up to the point of the knife coming down to sacrifice his son, God was going to intervene. And while he had that knife in his hand and his son, oh, as a sacrifice, the Bible says that the angel stayed his hand. How far will your faith go? How far will your faith take you? And he said he looked in a thicket and there was a ram. And he said, there's the sacrifice. Perfect faith. Perfect faith. Abraham was called a friend of God because up until Abraham, God spoke to people. But in Abraham, he said he appeared to Abraham. In my lifetime, I've met a lot of people on the phone. Just part of my profession, what I do, I meet a lot of people on the phone. Have you ever met somebody on the phone and you talk to them, and you have this image of them, but then you meet them in person. It's different, isn't it? I like meeting them in person. I had a lady say to me one time, said, I heard a lot about you. I've spoken to a lot of people about you and said, I always thought you were just real short, fat, bald-headed man. She said, because they said you so funny, and I just had you picture this short, fat, bald-headed man. I said, well, I'm glad I'm not. But you know what? God wants to appear to us and not just speak to us. Because appearance carries it to another level. Carries it to another level. This is good stuff. Some of it's hot off the press. Some of it's written down. Some of it ain't. I'm thankful that God saved me. I'm so thankful. He rescued me. I needed rescuing. And he didn't rescue me, Billy, from what some people think he rescued me from. He rescued me from me. Because I was my worst enemy. He rescued you from you. You know what? He's been rescuing me from time to time ever since from me. Because I have to pause and think about what's really happening in my life, and I have to rediscover and reinvent myself and rebuild myself and get back to who I really am. Amen. I think God does some things every now and then for us, but most of the time he's want to do it through us. Even when he heals a body, he did it through you. You believed. You confessed. You had faith. Right? You asked. You shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. So really the miracles and all that God wants is really inside you. It's locked up inside you. We said we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency and the power might be of God. That we know that in him we live and we move and we have our being. I want you to listen up real close, okay? Because this is going to be one of the most important things you'll ever hear in your life. You say, Buren, that's pretty strong. I'm about to say it again. Listen up. You're about to hear one of the most important things you'll ever hear in your life. That's how confident I am in what I'm about to say, David. I'm that confident. It's one of the most important things you'll ever hear in your life. Abraham built three altars. The first altar he built was in Shechem. And Shechem means a shoulder, a place of greatest strength. There was the oak of Moriah. It was a tree there, and that meant knowledge. And knowledge that comes out of strength and inspirations. You know, there's knowledge that I know something. It's doctrinal knowledge. Then there's knowledge that I have experienced it. Yesterday, I went to the track. I was going to get back into walking. And I had the knowledge that if I do that, it'd help me. I'd be better. How many know that's true? How many know that's true? Well, Barbara went about an hour before I did. And when I got there, she was coming off the track. And she was red as a beak and sweating like I couldn't believe it. She just looked pitiful. She looked at me and she said, you gonna walk? I said, yeah. She said, it's hot. So I just rolled up the window, turned my air conditioner on, and went back home. Heck. But you know, as a knowledge to exercise, and then there's the experiential knowledge that you did it. And the experiential knowledge puts muscles on you, give strength to you. I may know to do a lot of things, but it's not one thing to know it in your head. It's another thing that you get out there and you do something about it. Oh, I know if I read my Bible, I'll be better. Well, read it. Oh, I know if I go to church, well, go. Oh, I know if I, well, do it. Right? Do it. Oh, I know to exercise, do me good. But not when it's 95 degrees. It had probably done me more good. You know what happened, Captain? I would have sweat off probably three or four pounds. And this vest wouldn't be quite as tight this morning if I just followed through with what I knew. It's too hot. Then he went to another place. And this is early in his life. He went to another place called Bethel. And he built another altar. Bethel means house of God. It's more than individual strength. It's a corporate strength. How many know we need our individual strength, but we need the corporate strength too? See, this thing's ongoing. We keep getting stronger and stronger as we keep realizing that we got to keep moving and moving. And then he went to a last place, and it's called Hebron. He built an altar. Hebron means a league, a fellowship. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience to the things which he suffered. Usually as a young man sits right here on Sunday mornings called Chris, named Chris Tackle. He's about 8 or 9 years old. He's on the back of a tractor. And he slipped and his leg went into a combine. They rushed him to the hospital, rushed him to Atlanta. First doctor came out and said, "We're going to have to amputate the leg." His daddy said, "Give me another doctor." Another doctor came out and he said, "We're going to have to amputate the leg." His daddy said, "Give me another doctor." A young man came out who just got out of fellowship. Now, this is an illustration. See, I need strength on my own, and I need to experience this strength, but there's another strength I need to experience called fellowship. Fellowship, when a man graduates from college, goes his four years of medical, then he goes to internship. He doesn't have to go to fellowship. Fellowship is that he goes and he specializes in something. This young doctor, Joy, had specialized in hand surgery, and he knew all these little connections that needed to be. And so he looked at Chris's dad and said, "I think I'll try. I may can save that leg." And so for hours after hours with tedious connections of what needed to be, because a young man just came out of fellowship. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Every man is my superior in some way. I learn from him." Every man is my superior in some way. I learn from him. And man, I've got so many mentors in my life over the years that I had fellowship with and I learned from. I can't begin to tell you all of them. Lots of them. My preaching styles after one man. I've never told this really. I styled my preaching after one man. Name was Roy Harthen. I heard Roy Harthen preach at a general council, and I just liked the way he preached. Now, he's got a British accent. So I can't do the British accent, but I preach like him. But I can't do British, they can just say, "Open your Bible's tool." Philippians 2, see, that's what I'm saying. That they can say, "Open your Bibles to Philippians 2, 5, and everybody goes, "God, you hear him? Let's open our Bibles to Philippians 2, 5, because that's got to be something good. You hear him? It just sounds like it's good." But I came back, and I got up on the pulpit. Never forget it. Preached my message. First message I preached after, going to preach after, like him. And I got up and preached, and everybody came to me after, they said, "My gosh, what happened to you?" I said, "What?" I said, "You ain't never preached like that. Well, you, what happened to you?" "Oh, it's just anointing of God." Didn't tell them I'm just mimicking somebody, just acting like somebody that I kind of liked. I still do it today. Almost 40 years later, still do it, just like he did it. Yeah. How about that? How about that? Oh, I thought it was God. It was. God threw Roy to me. God threw Roy to me. Had a guy one day, he couldn't preach a lick. And he wanted to be in the ministry, so he tried to preach. I gave him some of my tapes. I said, here, it's okay. Take these and preach just like that. You'll be amazed what'll happen. Take one of them, just mimic me. He said, you're not supposed. I'm just telling you how we learn. We get it through other people, not just ourselves. If we don't fly solo, you're probably going to crash. Okay. We need coaches. We need mentors. We need spiritual fathers. We need friends, because all of them will speak to you and all of them will help you. They will. You can get better. Richard Falk said people of books with skin on them. People of books with skin on them. I like that. People of books with skin on them. Abraham and Sarah finally got to the place where they could get their inheritance. And this is what happened. God said, Abraham, I'm going to change your name to Abraham. And Sarah, I'm going to change your name to Sarah. Abraham means father of multitudes. Sarah means mother of nations. So for a period of time, after they learned that, Sarah would be in the kitchen. And she'd look out the window and she'd see Abraham. She'd say, father of multitudes, dinner's ready. Okay, mother of nations, I'm coming. Looks good, mother of nations. Oh, I'd do anything for you, father of multitudes. What you want to do tonight, mother of nations? Oh, father of multitudes, let's watch the Brady Bunch. Now, I know I'm exaggerating, but I'm trying to get a point across. Mother of nations, what do you want to do for vacation this year? Oh, I don't know. Father of multitudes, what do you want to do? And year after year after year, after saying it and saying it and saying it, Sarah looks at father of multitudes and says, guess what? I'm pregnant. The promised seed's come, and we're ready to deliver on the promise. Is that good stuff or not? Just keep saying it. I want the band to come back. Thank y'all. All of you to come back. Come on. And we're going to sing a song or two. We're going to sing those last two songs, but we're going to sing it a little differently. We're going to sing it in the first person. I don't know if I can do that, Beard. Well, you are. You are. I'm going to sing it the way God would want you to sing it. I mean, I want to sing it the way God wants you to sing it. Now, it's all right to give God praise and glory. We should do that. It's okay, though, to be who he says you are. That's okay, too. And so, we're going to sing that third song. Then we're going to sing that fourth song. Huh? What? Oh, okay. I thought God was talking again. Hey. It's good. Hey, Chubb's coming too. Saw it on Facebook. Chubb's coming next week. But football comes next week. Anyway, I'm going to turn this off because so you won't have to listen to me. Y'all appreciate that? You ready to sing, though? Let's stand up. One, two, three, four.
How do I say thank you, Lord, for the way that you love and the way that you've come, for all that you've done and all that you'll do. My heart pours out thank you. You don't have to come. Thankful song. You don't have to come.
we sing this next song, this next song to be an altar call. If you're here this morning and you can honestly say, you know, I don't want to give my heart and pieces to God. I want to give it all. I want to give it all. Or, you know, I've been giving my heart and pieces to relationships. I want to give it all. I don't want to give my heart and pieces. From this moment on, I'm going to make a statement. I want to come and I want to give my heart, not in pieces, but as a whole, to God, to my wife, to my husband, to my children, to one another, that I want to make a change like that today. Would you just, as we sing this song, come and stand across this front saying, I'm not going to give my heart in pieces no more. I'm going to give it all. Give it all.
Cause my vows are good, my love's not broken.
There's no greater proclamation than you can make. And those words will settle in your heart. They'll settle in the deepest recesses of your soul and your spirit. And I want you for the rest of this week, and for ever how many days, just keep putting that thing in the first person. Just keep confessing and confessing and confessing who you are. Keep confessing that you don't give your heart in pieces. Keep confessing that you changed the room. Keep confessing, 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 like Abraham and Sarah kept calling each other their real name and who they were. And the promise came. Just keep doing it. It will come to pass. I guarantee you, it will come to pass, but you got to keep doing it. Maybe seated.
Our ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings. If you have your connection cards, make sure you have those filled out. Two important things you need to know, especially if you're a visitor. But one is if you don't know who Chris Tackle is, the doctor did save his leg, and he is fine and great. Just wanted to make sure we finished that out and you knew that. The second thing is that today, this is for everybody that is here, at 6 o'clock, we have prepared a tremendous barbecue pork pulled plate meal for you. Baked beans, slaw, everything. We will be out at the park, pavilion number 2, which is the big pavilion. We've got the obstacle course and the jumpy things for the kids. And we have invited our the city police and the city fire department. Now, there's a couple hundred employees, okay, and then their families. When I first talked with the chief about it, he said, "Will, I am so glad you're doing this. Thank you for doing this." He said, "This is an area I'm working on with my guys as far as being involved in doing those things." He said, "So don't expect a lot of guys to come out." And so I said, "Okay." And so I got the ticket numbers in this week of how many had been given out, and I was like, "We are going to have a lot of food left over." So I called up my buddy Wayne Jones, which is with the county fire department. I said, "Dude," I said, "if the county fire department doesn't take it as a slam for being invited at the last minute, I am going to have a ton of food. Will you invite your guys?" He said, "I'll throw it out there. I'll send me the email and I will do what I can." So I have absolutely no idea how many folks we're going to have there or not have there. We're prepared for 400 and we may have 20. But if you come out and eat, it'll be great. And we'll have some great fellowship, some great food, and we will learn a whole lot. Now, none of the food is going to go to waste, because either I'm going to give you a Ziploc with some food to take home, or it's going to the soup kitchen in the morning. So somebody's going to benefit from all of this hard work that Jim and Donnie did yesterday. So we want you to be a part of that. Come out, enjoy the fun, and if you have a football, there's a huge field that's right there beside us. You can play frisbee or throw the football or just have a good time. So plan on doing that. On Wednesday night, we are halfway through the Intentional Mind. Make sure that you come out for that. It's awesome. It's been great stuff. In just a second, I am going to pray over the offering. But then today is the last Sunday of the month. And on the last Sunday of each month, we emphasize the alms. The alms is any funds that come in to go to help those that are in a time of need, whether it's inside the house members or whether it's outside of the house. So that is how we do Rushton Hope. That's how we help folks with utility bills, all of those type of things. And so that's what that box is down here for. Now, you can give at any point in time to alms, but we emphasize on that. And since we just sang two songs, I was sitting there and I was going, you know what? Let's do something a little different for our dismissal. So I went up to Kitty and I said, "Kitty, if I asked you just to play something fun and kind of upbeat, are you up for something like that?" And so she said she would do it. So I asked her to go to the piano, because she is a pianist. And I don't know if you know it, but I would dare say probably the best in the area. So there's no pressure on you by any means. And you guys get to sit and relax and enjoy. And if you want to come and give your alms while that's taking place, you can do that. Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. That God, each and every day you show up. That you're there, you're with us. And that, Lord, as we learn to acknowledge that in a full manner, Father, Lord, that it will come, we will come to our fullness in you. Lord, I thank you for these tithes and these offerings and the alms. Lord, for this meal this evening that we're going to be preparing and sharing. That, Lord, all of the glory would go to you in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come and give.